Coach Podcast. My name is Marvin Nash. I am the host, the founder, creator of the I Coach Podcast. This project started a few years ago. It's been off and on for a while, but I'm very, very excited to have it back. The basis of this podcast is to give coaches a platform to speak freely about what they feel, their philosophies behind why they do what they do. We don't do a ton of X's and O's. I think every coach knows X's and O's, and there's plenty of shows for that. This speaks to the heart of a coach. Why do you do what you do? Why do you choose to devote so much time? And why do you choose to take a pay cut to leave a profitable business proposition to go into public education and teach kids, or to go into college level, entry level coaching positions and make minimal money, but live your passion? This is all about the heart of the coach. Why do you do what you do? So with that out of the way, I just want to start this first by saying, I'm a big proponent of people. I'm a people person. I'm not necessarily bubbly. I'm not super, super personable, but I genuinely care about others. I genuinely want to see everybody be successful. And I know we can't all win. So I want you to win every time you play somebody, until you play me, of course, because we're competitive as well. One thing that I've seen is a lot of arguing going on back and forth on this platform called Twitter. I jumped into Twitter in the early 2010s, 2011 maybe, and I've been hooked ever since because it gave you a way to reach out and share information, share jokes, to laugh. You see how talented the people of the world are. But at the same time, everybody became an expert. Everybody knew everything about everything. And you could voice an opinion. You could state something that you notice, that you like, that you enjoy, that you lean towards, and somebody's going to come bash it. And that's fine. People do what they do. But not too long ago, a couple of days ago, actually, I was on Twitter and I thought about a conversation I had. I serve as a football recruiting coordinator for my high school. So all that means is that coaches contact me about our kids. I send out prospect sheets. I promote them on Twitter. I call and get them evaluated, try to get them into camps. I do whatever I can to help them get to college. I also help on the academic side with testing, ACT, SAT scores. I do tutoring. I'm a certified tutor. Everything I can do to help them get to the next level, I do. That's a passion of mine. That's what I want to see happen. One thing I found was a lot of college coaches were asking about track time. So I casually tweeted, I had a conversation with a coach and he didn't ask if one of my kids ran track. He asked what were his track times. So if track may help you and it doesn't hurt you, why not give it a shot? And there were people who jumped on the bandwagon. You have to be running track if you play football. You have to be doing that. Others saying, oh, there's other sports in the world. People, you know, of course, I don't know, commenting so strongly that there's other sports in the spring besides track. Never said there wasn't. Never said that you have to run track. I said, if you can do something that may help and it doesn't hurt, why not give it a shot? Because too many times we give up on ourselves. We put all our eggs in one basket and really we don't even believe in the strength of that basket. We don't believe that we can actually make what we think we can make out of our lives. We go into it doing what everybody told us to do instead of doing what you really want. So the point of what I was saying is that if there's an opportunity out there for you to be better, an opportunity for you to give, an opportunity for you to learn, for you to serve, for you to find out what it's like to be a part of a team, for you to find out what it's like to compete, for you to go into something a complete underdog and see what it's like to face no fear, then try it. Give yourself an opportunity. Let yourself win. But I've seen too many people take advice from people who have never been there. I see too many people who take advice from people they can't even necessarily compare themselves to. You didn't even play the sport. How can you compare yourself to that? You were a world-class track athlete, but you were terrible at football. Well, I can't compare myself to you if I'm a football player who just wants to get faster. There's so many different examples of why there's not a one size fit all. There's not a one way to do anything. And the sooner that people understand that, the better we'll be. Because instead of arguing and wasting time where we could be getting better, how about we take that time and make the best of it? have a great show lined up for you. Two very dynamic coaches are going to come on and speak their truth. One at the college level, another at the premier track and field program, premier football program, premier program period in the state of Texas. So looking forward to having you listen to this initial piece that we're putting together. This is iCoach, the podcast. This is iCoach, the podcast. I'm joined today by my guest, Coach Leon Paul. Coach Paul is the passing game coordinator for the Duncanville High School football team and also the head boys track coach. Coach Paul, welcome, man. Thanks for joining us.
Man, I'm grateful to be here, man. I appreciate you asking me to be on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, man, I just want to give our listeners a little bit of background about you. I've been following you for a while. I've been in the stands and watched some very impressive wins over some really good football teams in the past. But I would like for you to give just a little background of how you got to Duncanville and how you got to the current role that you have now.
Man, I was very fortunate. At the time, the Duncanville job wasn't even posted. I got a call from the current the athletic director that was there at that time. Telling me that she had a job for me to take. You know, it's the City of Champions, and she wanted me to head up the track and field program and turn that into a championship team. And I said, you know, I would love to, but the only way that I could take the job is if I coach football. And she goes, well, I don't handle anybody else's staff, so you have to talk to Coach Samples. Me and Coach Samples, we had a long interview. We had probably about an hour and a half, 2 hour interview, and it was great. And he wanted me to come on, so I went on ahead and accepted the job of, at the time, you know, wide receivers coach, slot wide receivers coach, and then head boys track coach. And then, you know, fast forwarding to now, you know, Coach Samples, he just recently gave me a promotion in football to be the pass game coordinator. And then, you know, this program that me and the staff has built, you know, is pretty awesome.
Absolutely, man. I know I follow from afar. I have my youngest son, man. He was born and raised in Frisco, Texas, man. Okay. But he walked around elementary school really the past 3 or 4 years saying, nah, because his mom was born in Duncanville. He said, nah, I'm from Duncanville. So he's been trying to rep Duncanville and Frisco forever, you know. It pays great respect to the way you build a program there. And how you make that term City of Champions resonate through every program. One big thing I want to ask first, we'll start on the football side before we get into track and field, but let's talk about working with Coach Samples. He is he's a legend. He's somebody that I've looked up to since I got into coaching 16 years ago. And I've never had a conversation with him, but just seeing him coach from afar, he seems like he mentors his coaches and prepares them to go to the next level.
Oh, Coach Samples is awesome. If you've never worked for a coach like Coach Samples that coaches coaches and pours into his coaches and has high expectations for his coaches, so his coaches has now high expectations for the kids, I don't want to say you're missing out, but you're missing out. I've learned more about myself as a coach since I've been at Duncanville than I ever have. I've learned how to run a successful program because he leads by example. He gives coaches a chance and he molds the coaches that let him mold. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, Coach Samples is very direct, and he is, and I appreciate it. And if you can appreciate, you know, that type of approach, then you're going to grow. And hopefully one of these days, if that's your ambition, you know, he'll help you get your own program. So I appreciate Coach Samp to the ends of the earth and back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, as we transition to getting to track and field, man, we're in the heart of the season. Let's start back to this time last year. I know we went to spring break. We never came back, and we had some, you know, everyone had kids that had opportunities to really go and make a name for themselves at regional and state meets, and we didn't even get a track season. How did that change your approach to this year's track season?
Be prepared for the unknown. And I tell me and my coaches, we have meetings every day, and I always tell them, like, we have to be prepared for what we don't know. And with that being said, Coach Stewart, she's the associate head coach. She's also the recruiting coordinator. She's been getting these kids' names out soon because we don't know when our last track meet can be, and that's kind of our mindset going into every meet. You don't know when your last track meet is going to be. So we try to win every meet. So if any ifs, ands, and buts, you know, if our track season ended today in the area, hopefully all the teams in the area would know that we were all around the better team, because every track meet that we went to, those kids work hard, and we've been fortunate enough to win every track meet. So, like, I guess if we was in football, we would be 5-0.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go in with a winning mindset when you go to the next task. Absolutely. The next question I have for you is this. If you had to put a number on the total number of kids in your track program on the boys' side, what would you say you have?
This year, I actually cut the numbers down because of the restrictions in COVID. But we have probably in the whole program, I want to say 65 to 70. Normally, it's about 85 to 90.
Wow. Wow. A lot of people like myself, I'm a football coach. I'm the head track coach at San Marcos High School. And we have issues with getting kids to commit to track. How do you make it a fun environment where they know they're going to work hard and find success and continue to grow those numbers like you've done over the years?
Well, over here at Duncanville, it's not about what they can do for our program. It's pretty much about what the program can do for them. You know, we have a lot of straight track kids now. And then also with football, you know, we let them know in the summer, me and my coaches are out there in the summer, and we train everybody the same. We try to teach everybody from, you know, the fastest defensive back to, you know, one of the slowest offensive tackles. We try to teach everybody how to run efficiently so they can become faster. Our main goal is not to run 40 points. Our main goal is to get you as fast as you possibly can be. So when you're on the football field, now you're playing at a different level. You know, like with wide receivers, I tell them, if you come and run track, now that ball that was maybe overthrown last year, now it's right on the money. Or with those DBs, you know, now when you broke on the ball and you just had to make a tackle, what we want to do is have you break on the ball and pick six it. And we teach them like that and give them that mindset. And with that mindset, you know, they want to come out and see what the hype is about. So, you know, it's no longer we have to beg kids to come out. You know, it's kind of we have to say, hey, you know, we're at our limit, you know, come back next year or run summer track. Let's see what you're doing, then come out next year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It leads me to just as you were talking, I was processing. There's a tweet I remember that went out not too long ago. It may have been a year or so ago, and it had a few of the football guys who ran JV track. You know, yeah. Put that. You know, I love that. They humbled themselves and said, "Yeah, I might be a Power Five football guy, but I need to get faster." And they ran JV track to get better at their respective sports. And there was one that showed JJ running, Jaquindi, and he had broken, he got caught, and then it showed him after track breaking and scoring against Allen, I believe, over at Cowboys Stadium. And just speak to that. How do kids see that benefit? How do you make that just be the first thing they see instead of just a work or running on JV or anything like that?
Well, you have to put it in real life. In real life, if you have an ego, then you'll never get better because you'll never want to listen. And at the time, the varsity 4x1, we was fortunate enough to be pretty fast. At one point, we was the number one team in the country on the 4x1. So those kids were fast, but they wasn't as fast as the varsity, and they understood. But in order for them to get faster than what they were, they needed reps. So we said, look, you know, we want to get y'all faster. You know, all of y'all are All-Americans. On that relay, you had Ennis Rakestraw. You know, he's a starting cornerback for Missouri. You had Chris Thompson. He's soon to be starting safety at Auburn. You had Jaquindon Jackson. He's soon to be, you know, starting quarterback at Utah. And then you had Roderick Daniels. And, you know, he's going out to SMU. He's actually on the 4x1 this year. At that time, he was a sophomore. But you talk to guys like that and say, well, with the more reps you run, if we can put you in the 100, 200, and 4x1, instead of putting you on varsity to, you know, help your ego so you have the better uniforms and you may run one event, you know, it's not going to help you. It's just like football. The more reps you get, the better you get. And all of those guys said, look, we don't have to be on varsity. We're just trying to get fast. And those guys end up running a 42 on JV. And then they also end up running like a 129 on the 4x2 on JV. And meanwhile, our varsity ran 40.5, and then we ran 125. So it was unreal. It was fun. It was more fun for me to watch because I don't coach an event, and I don't want to take credit for any of the sprints. I don't want to take credit for any of the long sprints or jumps. I have an amazing coaching staff that does an amazing job and get those guys to buy into them as well. So yeah, but that was a fun time. That was a fun time.
That's amazing, man. I wanted the story behind that, and there we have it. There it is. Yeah. Now, Coach, I can tell from talking to you, but I can see with the passion you coach with on the football field, on the track, and it just, what is it that made you want to become a coach?
In college, I actually pulled my hamstring. I was a starting corner. We had another starting corner. My coach, his name was Coach Rodney. He told me that just because I have a hamstring don't mean I'm sidelined. He says, if you want to be a good team player, you'll coach up your backup. So while I was out, and I was out for about 2 or 3 weeks, I was coaching him and I was pouring into him and I was telling him everything that I had to do because he was taller than me. I was undersized, so I had to play with more technique than anybody. Just so, you know, that's just how it is, and I understood that. So I gave him all my, I guess you could say, my little secrets and how I do things, and he utilized them. So when I was able to come back, when I got 100%, he actually took the other corner starting job. So it was me and him as two starting corners, and he told me, he was just like, man, say, like, you might be onto something with this coaching stuff. And I was like, you think so? And he was just like, yeah, man, like, you know, you might want to change your major. So I said, you know what? You know, it was fun. And I said, you know, when I graduate college, I'm going to try to get me a coaching job. And, you know, now we're here.
That's amazing how God puts that in your life, man. You know, it gives you the opportunity to be a coach. And then, you know, fast forward, and now you're coaching with some of the best people in America, man. So that's a blessing, without
Very
a doubt.
Fortunate.
Yes, sir. Now, next question. I know we take a lot of time investing in the other people's kids, man. Are you a family man? Are you married? Do you have children?
Oh yeah, I mean, I got a very beautiful wife, and we got 3 beautiful daughters. I have no sons. I am a girl dad. So I love it, and they support me like no other. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Yes, sir. How do you manage the you know, you're coaching at a very, very high level, you know, nationally, whether it be track or football. How do you manage your time to make sure that you have enough to be that girl dad?
First, I got to say, my wife is amazing. She's very supportive. On Friday nights, my wife and my kids are in the stands. At track meets, they're in the stands. As soon as I get home, you know, first thing that my youngest daughter does is she comes up to me and she says, Daddy, can you make me fly? So it don't matter what happened at work. It don't matter if I'm frustrated. All that goes out the window. And as soon as I get home, you know, I'm in daddy mode until they go to sleep at 8:30. And then me and my wife, we watch our favorite shows. And then after we watch our favorite shows, if I have anything to do with work, film breakdown or anything, you know, I kind of wait till they go to bed and I stay up a little extra, get that done, you know, before I get into bed.
There it is. There it is. Just good efficient management of your day and not bringing work home. You're always keeping that time with your family until they're asleep. Then it's time to go back to work. I got you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, one more question here for you, Coach. This is the iCoach podcast. So we have, I'm making where you just have a tagline to name your podcast. So if you had to name this podcast, what would you name it?
Ooh. If I had to name your podcast?
Or the one that features you.
Man, I would probably say Make the Impossible Possible. And not just for me and my career. If we talk about my track coaching staff, everybody has a different story. And I appreciate him because of this story. My coach that's been with me for the longest time, he's been a volunteer coach all his life. He was with Arlington Seguin, Coach Henderson, Coach William Henderson. He was with them, and they won a state championship. And then, you know, he was just waiting on somebody to give him a chance. And, you know, he came to me as soon as I got to Duncanville, and I hired him on. And he's one of the top coaches in the area just because he took advantage of his opportunities with Coach Stewart. You know, I don't know if you know who she is, but she is my sprints coach. And when I was hiring her, I was looking for a jumps coach because I was a sprints coach. And she came in there and she didn't know too much about jumps. But, you know, I was like, okay, is there anything else? Because in my head, you know, I need to move on to the next. And she said, yeah, it actually is. If you really want to be dominant, you'll hire me as a sprints coach. And this is her not having any high school experience, but the experience that she had being an All-American from Texas A&M and learning under Pat Henry and Vince Anderson, she had a lot more that she can bring to the table. And I hired her on. And then, you know, the rest is history. Like, you know, I want to say that, in my opinion, we have one of the best sprints programs maybe in the country. And then with Coach Puka, and I hope he don't mind putting his business out, but, you know, when Coach Puka came and interviewed for the jumps coach the following year, you know, he came to me homeless. And, you know, he came to me, you know, wanting the chance to coach. He's been a volunteer at Texas Tech. He's been a volunteer at SMU. And he's volunteered a lot of his time into coaching athletes, and he wasn't getting compensated for it. Well, after our interview, you know, I wanted to make sure that he got compensated for it. And now he's a part of the staff, and he's a huge part of the staff. So it's all about, somebody gave me my first chance. And with my first chance, you know, I made sure that I took advantage of it. So when I got in the position to where I can give somebody their first chance, you know, as long as I can see their heart, and their heart is, and the passion is for kids, you know, I want to hire them on. And everybody I think on my staff can be a head track coach. And I hope it happens for them soon, because all of them deserve it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just, man, just hearing that testimony, it is no wonder you have such a huge program. No wonder you have such a successful program. You're a man that pours into, you know, your coaches and kids alike, and people gravitate towards that. So I'm just thankful that you were able to share the story on the iCoach podcast, man, because more people need to hear it. Coaches go into it with the wrong thing in mind, when really it's about giving. It's not about receiving.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate your time today, Coach. And again, I know a lot of coaches like myself, I found Duncanville Track on Twitter, and I follow everything that you put out there. If you don't mind sharing both your personal and your football or your track Twitter handles, so our coaches can follow you.
Okay. My track Twitter handle is @Duncanville_TF. And then my personal one, I just created it. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, you got his own. Cause I'm not really like, it's all about Duncanville Track and Field, but I was told I need to have mine. So I believe it's @TheCoachPaul7.
Got you, Coach Paul. Well, I appreciate everything, Coach. Have a great evening, and thank you again for being a guest on the iCoach podcast.
Man, I'm honored to be here, man. I appreciate you having me.